I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with two of the tools today. We have Brandon Lundberg.
What's up, Woody? What's up, Nate? What are you doing over there, Nate?
And Nate Parker.
Just chilling, Brandon. Just chilling. It's a good day to be alive.
It's a great day to be alive.
I was half expecting. I feel like that pause was there because we're waiting for a whistle. No whistles today. Pop-off sound effect. Analyst CJ McLaughlin is not with us today.
Nope, he is on vacation. Happy trails.
Happy trails!
Let's dive right into it, guys. We got some stuff to cover today. Some good stuff. Training camp is here. Season is right around the corner. People are prepping for their fantasy drafts. As always, check out our Five Tool Sports fantasy coverage. CJ has his own fantasy show that he's dropped off, and it's got some nuggets in there for you in your league. And check out Football Scout 365, all those insider stats that we all need for that advantage in our leagues. Now let's dive right into it. Aaron Rodgers, he did it. He's back. He's in Green Bay.
Ew.
The plane has hit the ground. And, you know, to say he's stirring some things up would be an understatement. This man came in firing, just shooting both finger guns. Just GM sucks. GM sucks.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over again. Just lying, just taking questions about it. Open, like, no, I don't want to be here, but we'll be good because I'm here.
I feel like the biggest thing that Aaron Rodgers did, his timing of how he did what he did was perfect. Like, had he come out with this at the start, it would have been less well received, right? People would have been like, you're just complaining. You've been to the NFC Championship twice in the last 2 years. You were a stone's throw away from the Super Bowl. Like, quit your complaining. But after watching how the Packers handled the entire situation and essentially blundered a possible trade to get Aaron Rodgers away from the Packers and make the Packers possibly even better during that portion of time, like, and go with Jordan Love, make that transition, like, they just messed everything up. And Aaron Rodgers coming out now and pointing out all of those flaws is just like, people are going like, you know what, Aaron, I see what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Aaron Rodgers, I think he just wants to be treated like Tom Brady, right? What's crazy is Rodgers goes out and he says all the things that he said in that press conference. And then literally the next day or in the same week, the front office is basically just trying to negate some of the things that Aaron Rodgers was saying about them, so to speak, which is kind of crazy to me. You just lock the guy down, right? Like, you just got him back. He's there. And now just shut up, right? If you're front office people in Green Bay, you should be happy and thankful that
Absolutely. It's
over. You have your quarterback in place and you're good.
My favorite part about Aaron coming back is he's pulling like the cellmate when he came back. He's like, all right, well, you're going to hold my pocket.
Hold my pocket.
You're going to trade for Brandon Cobb and bring him back here. I don't care if he's washed. He's going to be here next to me. Yeah,
that's true.
You know,
I think Randall Cobb could have a great season this year with Green Bay, circa James Jones, 3 or 4 years ago. I'm excited to see Randall Cobb play in a system that he's familiar with, playing with a quarterback he's comfortable with. I'm excited to see that. Speaking of personality, Tom Brady, the speed test for Madden with Ojo Cinco. I know. Woody, you brought this up a number of times. Now we're seeing this like happy-go-lucky, fun Tom Brady.
Amazing.
And we're all starting to realize, like, Bill Belichick just sucks the fun and the personality out of humans while they stay in New England.
Tom Brady, I feel like, is one of the funnest people on planet Earth, and we never knew. It's just the smiling. I feel like he's just drunk at training camp. And now he's out here. I'm on TikTok pretty heavy because, you know.
Yeah, he's on there.
Yeah, and he's just all over the Bucks. TikTok. Just, like, doing all these skits and stuff. And it's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
Also, like, funny story is, like, we all know why Brady and Gronk are best friends. They're both still frat boys.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. Now in some more dire news. Carson Wentz trying to get his career back up off the ground in Indianapolis suffered a twinge in his foot after planting his foot for a throw. And he's taking the optional surgery route to prevent it from later. I went and looked at Stefania Bell's synopsis from ESPN of the surgery, and she stated that it's a preventative surgery. And she says that it should not be a problem like a reoccurring surgery. It's more of just making sure that it's... Because I have him on a fantasy team, so I'm like, all right, what's going on here? I needed to make sure what was going on. I'd be surprised if it's a reoccurring problem. And they do expect him back. The recovery time is 5 to 12 months. They're obviously not going to rush him back. And I think Nate made a really good point because they're looking at it right now. We were talking about this earlier. If Carson doesn't play 70% of his snaps, then the Eagles don't get that compensatory draft pick. I think we're going to see him come back probably about the 1/3 point now. That would probably make sense.
Yeah,
started off like 0-4.
A bone fell, like literally a bone fell off of his foot, like inside.
The metatarsals, like, so, like, similar to your hand, like, there are so many just small bones inside of your foot. And as a football player who needs to plant and derive torque from the lower body, like, you have to be able to use your feet to do that. And the injury that he's got is he's essentially got a broken foot. Like, he can't do all of the things that he needs to do. I've been fairly consistent about Carson Wentz being broken. I was under the impression it was almost all completely mental, and he had such a terrible mental season last year that I'd forgotten that he's also built like glass. But here we are again, Carson Wentz out for an extended period of time before even taking a single snap in Indy. So I said it on record 2 weeks ago. I said, I hope Carson Wentz proves me wrong. I said to CJ, I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he has a very successful career and season with the Colts. But just another step in the wrong direction, so to speak.
Yeah. So it looks like they signed Brett Hundley as well. And then there's Jacob Eason that was already on the roster.
Let me tell you, I watched Jacob Eason in college. Yeah. I watched my man Jacob Eason in college. That ain't an NFL quarterback.
Did they draft Sam Ellinger wasn't he a Longhorn?
Yeah. I mean, he's not ready.
Yeah.
for this stage either. I mean,
Brett Hundley, I could see him. If it's going to be interesting because we'll see how they view if they go out and trade for somebody like a Nick Foles, which would be hilarious if Nick Foles came in to play for Carson Wentz.
Nick Foles wants back in. He made a statement. That's who he wants to play for is Frank Reich.
He owns space in Carson Wentz's head. It's unbelievable.
It's insane.
But if they go out and they bring in another starter, I would probably think it airs towards more like the 8 to 12 week recovery. But if they just keep with Brett Hundley for a few games or Jacob Eason, then I would lean more towards the earlier side of the recovery time. That'll be very telling. You know, and then breaking news this morning, we also have all-world guard Quentin Nelson suffered a bone issue in his foot similar to Carson Wentz, actually. So
that's not good. Yeah. That's definitely not good.
That's a big loss if he's out for a significant time. That's a huge loss, especially if you're going to have another quarterback in there, maybe even a guy with no experience at all at the NFL level back there, potentially. So,
it's not going to be as cut and dry as it was last year either, because last year they only had the Titans to really worry about. But now you have the rebooted Jaguars with a new, fresh attitude and Trevor Lawrence supposedly turning around the franchise. And don't count out Mr. Tebow catching touchdowns in spring training. Yeah. Just having ESPN blow their wad all over each other. Trevor Lawrence,
yeah.
Tim Tebow just scored a touchdown.
Hey, so you got to remember, ESPN has contracts with the SEC and the ACC, so they're all about, they got to put those guys on the forefront anytime they do anything good.
Yeah, when Trevor Lawrence and Tim Tebow scored a touchdown, that's like when Will Smith, Tom Cruise, and David Beckham all smashed their together and created Scientology.
So an interesting, yeah, that is, I think that's pretty accurate. It was summarized in like a Mission Impossible movie.
Amazing.
Anyways, I think it's interesting. You bring up Nick Foles. It would be very easy for the Colts to bring in Nick Foles for like a three to five mil deal, prove it deal, for Carson Wentz. I mean, they've got a $13.6 million left in their cap, available to sign a free agent. So someone like a Nick Foles, who's kind of down and out currently, could very well come in and get signed.
Mm, nice call.
In other news, Deshaun Watson, is he innocent until proven guilty? Or are we just deciding court of public opinion? Now, I will say I watched an interview, like a very informal interview online of one of the victims in the suit or whatever. And it was really funny because she was like struggling saying like the no-no words. So she was like, I was massaging him. And then he was like, nah, I need you to get up in the ass. So she'd start massaging like the cheeks. And then she's like, nah, you're not getting in there enough. And she's like, but I'm going to be in there if I'm go any further. And then he's like, yeah, like get in there. So apparently a man was getting some deep tissue massage.
I was about to say that.
I'm 100% on board the innocent until proven guilty, even if he's already been convicted in the court of public opinion. Here's why I'm erring on that side. The NFL doesn't mess around with this stuff at this point. They don't mess around with human trafficking, and they don't mess around with domestic violence or abuse. Solicitation, clearly an issue that's been brought up here. If the NFL had any sniffers that he could be guilty at this time, he would be on the exempt list. He would not.
He's been investigating it.
Yeah. The NFL has basically said he's not going on the exempt list. The Texans are probably planning on starting him.
I don't think they are planning on starting him because they've had him playing third string safety on the practice squad.
Yeah, he was on the scout team.
I think they're just over it at this point. They wanted to keep him before, and they were holding fast. And now with everything that's happened, I think we're seeing them protect their asset, and they're like, screw it. We're just going to wait until someone gives us – I heard they're asking for 3 first-round picks.
Yeah. I can see the Eagles doing it.
The Lions should absolutely give them those 3 first-round picks. We've got 5 next year. We got 5 in the next 2 years. Give them the 3.
Reports have said Deshaun wants to be in Denver, by the way. I know that's kind of a key factor. So
I just don't understand, unless like Denver's afraid of him actually getting suspended by the NFL. It just makes zero sense because your window is now. Like the talent you have on your roster is now. You add Deshaun Watson to that team. Is there anyone here who disagrees that that's a Super Bowl team?
Oh, yeah. I believe it. They'd be in contention for sure. They would be there with Kansas City right away.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. So that's where we part ways, Brandon, because I think all right, well, first they have to get by Kansas City, not only in their division but in their conference. And I like 9 times out of 10, if you put Deshaun Watson on the Broncos and you say, I'm gonna say the Chiefs win that 9 out of 10 times. So
I can agree with that a little bit.
I think they actually start contending with the Chiefs right off the bat.
Yeah, the distractions, though, that Deshaun has in his life right now, all of the stuff that's been going on, who knows where his headspace is right now, that's a factor that you have to think about. But yeah, if you take Deshaun Watson and you just say, okay, he was a top 5 caliber quarterback before all of this, and you put that same guy on Denver as they stand right now, then they become a Super Bowl contender. But is this current version of Deshaun Watson, where his headspace may be at, is he in the right place to where if he gets traded somewhere and can play at Denver, for example, will they be a contender? I can see that aspect of it where the Chiefs wouldn't have a problem because he's not where he needs to be.
I'll give Denver this. If they get Deshaun Watson, they instantly become a playoff team. But I'm not willing to say they become a contender at this point.
It's strictly because of their defense and their – I mean, let's be honest. Obviously, he had DeAndre Hopkins, but I think there's more talent overall than what he would have with Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and just drag and drop one of their three other young guys in the slot, or Hamilton or somebody. And I think that there's no touching the talent there. I think Jerry Jeudy automatically becomes an All-Pro. Cortland Sutton's already an All-Pro. And they're all underneath 25 still. Like, it's just, it would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But once again, we do not know if he's going to end up playing this year. The NFL has not spoken on it, so.
They did investigate it a little bit. So if there was anything that they thought needed to be taken care of, like him being suspended in the interim, pending the investigation finishing up and all that, and any more evidence that needs to be looked at or whatever, yeah, they probably would have made that move.
COVID-19 is still rampantly affecting the NFL, and it's ramping up. With the Delta variant spreading across the United States, we are having a lot of COVID tests pop up. Ex-NFL MVP Lamar Jackson already on the COVID list this offseason. And we're seeing a major debate with staff and players on will they get the vaccine, won't they get the vaccine? And it's become, you know, just the biggest news story every day. Brandon, how is COVID-19 still affecting the NFL this year?
I think that the media is really, you know, they're diving on these guys. They want to know what's going on. And you know, these guys are just answering with their honest opinion on things. And that's really where it is right now. Now, in terms of how it's going to affect the NFL this season, I do see there's going to be some issues. There's going to be guys missing games. You know, I've already read into the fact that, you know, guys have to wear special wristbands that are unvaccinated into the facility, so you know who's not vaccinated, and they have the whole contact tracing situation going on by player. So you've got so many different things going on.
Not even by player, staff too. Yeah. I follow the Oakland Raiders team manager, like equipment manager, and he posts on TikTok, and he posts like a day in the life of his work, and he talks about when he enters the facility, everyone who enters the facility has to stop, pick up a contact tracer. Like, everyone's walking it on the wrist.
Yeah.
You come in contact with somebody that tests positive, they know exactly who you've come in contact with throughout the building. It's pretty wild. It's some 1984-like stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Sammy Watkins. Oh, Sammy Watkins. Has your name creeped back into our early off-season, preseason coverage again? Sammy Watkins, amazing wide receiver from Clemson. High draft pick. Shown absolute electric ability his rookie year. And then he got injured. And then he's gone on and off, being injured, being healthy. And he's never really gotten back to that form from his first rookie year when he just looked absolutely electric. But he did go to the Chiefs. And because of Patrick Mahomes, he would have three amazing games a year, and then you would not see him any other week during the year. And that is the Sammy Watkins we've come to know. And when I say amazing, I'm talking like 11 catches, 180 yards type amazing. Yeah. Like, just absolutely goes off. And then you won't hear from him for like 4 weeks. Then you'll hear from him for a big game, and you won't hear from him for 4 weeks. Now, that could be matchup play, but Sammy Watkins left the Kansas City Chiefs in the offseason, and he signed with the Baltimore Ravens. A big, big drop-off when it comes to how the ball is coming to you through the air. Like, Lamar, he's a whole different beast. He brings other things to the table, but he is certainly no Patrick Mahomes when it comes to throwing the ball downfield. But, by all reports, Greg Roman saying Sammy Watkins is showing up in training camp. Now, we do know the Ravens drafted Rashad Bateman from Minnesota this offseason, and we still have the great Hollywood Brown. So do we see the Ravens maybe running more three wide receiver sets this year, opening up the offense a little bit, or are we going to see still more the run-based offense?
You're going to see a combination of both. They've already started to transition into less two tight end sets and more just, you know, one tight end sets with Andrews. You're going to see a lot of, you know, they're going to be splitting two by twos or four wide receivers, but with Andrews in the slot, for example. And then you're going to have Hollywood in the slot opposite of him, for example, or they're going to have trips to one side. You're going to see a lot of things change up in this offense. That's what they want to be. That's why they brought in Rashad Bateman. That's why they brought in two receivers a year ago. And they also brought in Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State as well in this past draft. So they've got a stockpile of receivers. They've got some top heavy, high-end upside at receiver as well with Hollywood Brown and Rashad Bateman. One of the things with Hollywood Brown that people need to look at is his potential as a receiver, opening up more now that there's another guy on the field that defenses will now have to focus on, whether that's Sammy Watkins, whether that's Rashad Bateman or not, or whoever steps to the forefront, one of these guys will be another weapon for this offense. Now, in terms of what you had already brought up, the delivery of the football being different in terms of how you were discussing Sammy Watkins with Patrick Mahomes. See, one of the things Watkins can do is run after the catch style stuff. And Lamar can do that pretty well, right? He doesn't, it's not going to be tons of deep balls to Sammy Watkins type of stuff. Find a way to get him the ball in the open field and let him make plays. That's the way I look at it. But Bateman, again, another big bodied receiver, something that I've been lobbying for Lamar Jackson for the past couple of years now. He needs a guy who can go up and get it outside of Mark Andrews, for example. So definitely something to keep an eye on with this offense.
Xavien Howard, arguably the best cornerback in the league. He wants out of the Miami Dolphins because he feels like he is not getting paid the correct amount. Now, Howard, who was coming off an injury last year, people were wondering how he's going to rehab, how he got back. He came back with a vengeance, posting his first 10 interceptions season. Absolutely insane. And he wants to be compensated. Cornerback is a very what have you done for me lately position. I can see why he feels like he wants to be paid, but he's still coming off a major injury. Do you think we see the Dolphins break here and adjust the... It's got to be frustrating to Howard to be the best cornerback arguably in the NFL, but not be the highest paid on your own team. That's, yeah. I think, what his biggest problem is. It's usually an ego when it comes to which one's the biggest turd in the kitty litter box. You know what I mean? Like, my turd smells the worst, but this turd's bigger. it's all ego. This is all ego, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's very similar, you know, I would say, to the Aaron Rodgers situation in terms of him not being happy with the organization. But I do think that I honestly think if you have a guy like that, you want to take care of that guy. You want to be able to pay that guy. He's your top performing. He's basically your best asset on defense. And with him, you're locking down half of the field. That's what you need in this defense. And that's what's made them successful in recent years. Now, again, if they're going to trade him, they better get good value for him, right? I know it sounds crazy. You're not paying him the way he believes he should be paid, but at the same time, you better get good value out of the guy if you're going to trade him. Now, I did hear the Dallas Cowboys were actually interested, or it might have been vice versa, him being interested in the Cowboys, but there was some conversation about that I had heard the other day. I don't know where they're at with trading him, but again, I would keep him. I would find a way to make him happy, keep him on the roster. This team can
contend. Well, him and Byron make them an elite defense.
Yeah.
To have those two corners to be able to put them out on islands by themselves.
Yeah. It takes a lot of pressure off everybody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eagles first round pick Devontae Smith is week to week after hurting his knee over the weekend. He's expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks. I've already heard amazing reports about him in camp. And there's nothing to worry about here, right? He'll be back before kickoff.
Yeah, let's hope, right? I feel confident that when he is healthy, he will step up regardless of who the quarterback is. I'm confident that Devontae Smith will be fine. I'm not sure, you know, how bad the knee injury is, but anytime there's any kind of a foot or a leg injury, and we've had these conversations before, you got a plant on that leg, especially as a receiver, you're making sharp cuts and things like that. It will affect your route running and your ability to get open. So something to keep an eye on for sure.
And also, a player like Devontae Smith, say it was like a more athletic, physical-based receiver, I would be concerned. But with Devontae Smith, Alabama's receiver coach, he just went on and on and on during the pre-draft scenarios where he talked about how intelligent of a football player Devontae Smith is and how he's like having a 10-year veteran out on the field. And yeah, you could literally, he would come back into the quarterback huddle and break down the other defensive's coverage and what they should be looking at and where they should be running their next play. And when you have a player like that, reps aren't the absolute be-all, end-all. If he's that intelligent, he'll know the playbook. He'll be ready when he steps on the field.
Absolutely. Also, maybe some extra time to be in that weight room.
He strikes me as a guy who can eat whatever he wants and never gains an ounce, period. And no matter what they do, it's never going to work.
So also strikes me as a guy where you were shocked and awed by how much he can actually lift it with his frame. So
that and how he gets off of a jam. It'll be interesting. I want to see how he handles the physicality of NFL corners. I'm confident he'll be fine in that regard, though.
So 49ers mini camp. You know, your boy here, he called out Trey Lance as the next thing. I think he's going to be the best quarterback in this class when it's all said and done. When you have a mind like Kyle Shanahan, you don't trade up to the top of the draft to take a game manager like Mac Jones. You trade up because you see a once-in-a-lifetime prospect. And we see Trey Lance has been wowing some people in training camp. So the question is, do we see Trey Lance early? Personally, I don't think so. I think with how Jimmy G performed last year, they have to bring his trade value back up. So it's not going to have anything to do with Trey Lance's performance during training camp. I'm sure it's just going to, the hype's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that, but they have to build up Jimmy G's just with like maybe a few games. Jimmy G has one big 4-touchdown game or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him shipped out for like a second round pick, like he's been passed around before.
Look, the big thing for me in this entire situation with Jimmy Garoppolo in general is I feel like this is a guy who's been there, done that. He understands the system. He understands the offense already. And I think Trey Lance's experience level is going to be a major factor going into this. Now, I know it's one thing in practice or in camp to be comfortable and confident in your ability and show what you can do. And it's another thing, obviously, when you're in the middle of, you know, a game with 60 or 70 or 80,000 people. To me, it's a matter of where are the 49ers at within the organization? Are they ready to just throw a guy in there like this and just kind of let him go through the motions and count on Shanahan to bail him out with good play calling? Or do they want to go with the veteran Jimmy Garoppolo for a while and kind of sprinkle Trey Lance in here and there to gain experience and get him confident? It'll be interesting to see how they actually approach this situation. I like Trey Lance. I like what I see. I feel like if you would have put him on a Division I team, if he was at Ohio State, I think he would have flourished at that level as well. So we'll see. I think time will tell. Preseason's coming, right? So.
No, totally. It's going to be, that's going to be one of the more fun storylines to watch. Let's dive into our last half of the podcast. We have player projections delivered, of course, by our sister site, Football Scout 365. Shout out Brandon Lumberg. And we have Patrick Mahomes. So we're going to be doing over unders here.
Before we do that, so I'll take a moment. Rest in peace. Five Tool Trivia for 2 weeks. We'll miss you. All right, carry on.
All right.
What I usually do when I'm looking at projections, generally I try to look at what makes sense based on previous years, right? So I usually try to use 3 years worth of data if a guy has 3 years worth of data to begin with, to kind of gauge where they're at. But anyway, for Patrick Mahomes, I believe he's a 5,000-yard passer. I've got him at 4,900 yards in the projections and 45 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. Now, what I like to do is I like to go look at what do the Vegas insiders or those who put together these projections on their end for over-unders and player props, right? So I went to the DraftKings Sportsbook to examine their touchdown over-under and also their passing yards. And I looked at a few other things as well, but I was interested to see where they thought Patrick Mahomes landed in that category. I feel like he's a 5,000-yard passer. They apparently feel like he has that ability as well. So if you go to DraftKings Sportsbook, the touchdown over under is +110 on the over or -140 on the under of 39.5 touchdowns. And on the pass yards side of the equation, the over under is -115 on the under or the over at 5,050.5 yards passing, according to DraftKings Sportsbook for Patrick Mahomes. Where do you guys think he lands on that side of the equation? I was asking it on Instagram the other day, polling people. The vast majority believes Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for over 5,000 yards.
I'm actually taking the under on both, but not because of suffrage for performance, because of I feel like he's going to get injured, like just, you know, tweak an ankle or something for the past couple games or at least a couple games this year. Because we saw last year how comfortable the team looked with Chad Henne as their backup. He came in and he played well in the playoffs. And I feel like they're going to be comfortable letting Patrick get some rest if he tweaks an ankle or something this year. And so I see him probably more around like 43 to 45 with like 30 to 35 touchdowns. That seems more realistic. I mean, superhuman numbers for someone else, but for Patrick Mahomes, I look at him as the under this year simply because they want him to be healthy when it counts.
Yeah. I'm going to take the over on yards.
17 games. Don't forget that.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people are forgetting about that. Yeah. A lot of people are forgetting about that.
I'm taking the over all day on that number. That's another 300 yards of that total.
I think we'll see surprise. And playing devil's advocate to that, I think we'll see surprising rest for players because of that extra game. I think we'll see guys take a seat during the season for a game or two because you have that extra game added to the schedule, because they're going to try to overcompensate to have their players healthy when it comes to football playoffs, especially with contenders.
I have a feeling you'll see that. Basically, they're just going to get another bye week, and they're going to base that solely on where their bye week lands. If their bye week's late, they're going to take an early game rest, especially if they're a key player. But what worries me about Patrick Mahomes isn't the prospect of being injury; can he recovery from the turf toe that he had last year that hindered him down the stretch in the season? I know everyone's saying the surgery was successful; he's doing great.
Turf toe's tricky, right?
Exactly. Julio Jones still hasn't gotten over.
No, it always seems to come back on guys that it's affected once. We see it down the road come up again. So that's a good thing.
I heard a crazy story about toe injuries here on local radio in Columbus. Actually, I know this is off the, out of left field here, but Bobby Carpenter on his radio show one morning, I was driving, I heard the conversation. When he was at Ohio State, one of the things that he started to do after people kept stepping on his feet in practice, his toenails would constantly break from people stepping on him with cleats. He went to the team doctor because he had one that was kind of like festering up on his big toe or whatever. And the team doctor was like, okay, well, we can just remove it, right? So he's like, oh, okay. So there's more to the story because he has like a weird relationship with the doctor. They're friends now. But at the time, he was kind of like being a to the doctor at the time. So he didn't numb the toe, I suppose, and he ripped the nail out, I guess is how the story went, which is crazy. So after that, every single season he played football, college and pro from there, he would just go and have his toenails removed so that they wouldn't break or get stepped on anymore.
So he's just down there with meat puppets?
I guess so. Because that's just weird. To keep from having random toe injuries and things that could slow him down. Because every year it never failed.
Toes across your
but,
face.
But I don't know if it was every disgusting. Toe. It might have just been the big toe. But it's crazy to me that a guy would just go every year to have the toenails removed. But he did realize, hey, yeah, you're supposed to numb.
He's just got 10 Jeff Bezoses lining his feet, huh?
Yeah. So whatever. Anyway, that's kind of a left field story there about toes. And
Bobby Carpenter, and no toenails. All right.
Yeah, he's pretty wild. All right, so the next quarterback here, Football Scout 365 projections have Josh Allen at 4,700 yards passing and a 35-12 touchdown to interception ratio. DraftKings Sportsbook, the touchdown over under is -115 on the under or over both of 34.5 touchdown passes. DraftKings Sportsbook also has his pass yards over under -115 on the under or the over at 4,550.5 pass yards. What do you guys think?
I tend to err on when a quarterback has, a young quarterback especially, has this all-world season in a new play offense designed for themselves to take a dip in the next year. Not an incredible dip, but a slight knock in the next year, especially because I think Buffalo is going to learn from their past last year and want to build up the run a little bit more. I feel like we're going to see them want to establish Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, and we're going to see just them try to establish the fact that there is a run game to build the play action for Stephon Diggs. And we also might see some more running on trick plays and gadget plays with Emmanuel Sanders out of the backfield. I've heard a bunch of reports how they're getting the ball on him on reverses. And we might see him coming out of the backfield. I think we're going to see a bunch of this stuff, but I definitely am going to see more of a concentration on the run, and that would be less running by Josh Allen as well.
I think Buffalo, to be completely honest, has always wanted to establish a run game. They just didn't. Zach Moss wasn't healthy for the majority of the season last year. I think the complete opposite of you, Woody, on Josh Allen taking a step back. I actually see Josh Allen year after year continuing to improve. Josh Allen is my preseason pick for NFL MVP, and I think he easily hits the numbers that Football Scout 365 is projecting. Emmanuel Sanders has come out and said great things about Josh Allen's ability to throw and the balls that he's been getting. So I have zero issues with confidence being able to say Josh Allen is going to beat those numbers and he's going to be the 2022 NFL MVP.
Nice. The most interesting quarterback in terms of projections, by the way, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. And now I want to let everybody know, for the record, I do not gamble. I do not condone it. And yes, you guys do, but I simply use these to gauge my projections and to gather opinions. Woody and Nate, they are the resident gambling degenerates. I am not here to help them with that problem. So they will not be able to hold me accountable when they go broke from gambling debts. Now,
see
anyway,
you at the meetings, Nate.
Yeah. No, but for that matter, the most interesting, I think, is Joe Burrow on DraftKings Sportsbook at plus 100 with an over under pass yards of 4,200 and a half yards.
This one I'm on.
Right. Football Scout 365 projections have him at 4,500 yards in 2021. I can see it.
No, I'm all over this one. This is the first one that I would bet the house on. As long as he can stay healthy, he added. People really forget what Ja'Marr Chase did with Joe Burrow on a football field because he took that year off. This was the best wide receiver in the country. We see Justin Jefferson coming over and taking over the league. And this guy was twice the player Justin Jefferson was when they were on the field. And you're adding that to an offense already has Taj Boyd. T. Higgins, who showed so much potential last year, is coming into camp and saying what I like to call the Kyle Korver treatment. He was a great skilled player that didn't have the most athletic body, and he went and found himself a trainer that completely just changed his athleticism, his twitch muscles. They say he looks like a completely different player running around the field now. So you're taking a guy that produced when he wasn't at his athletic peak, and he's coming in as his athletic peak, and this is his third. This is their third wide receiver. All of
I love it.
No, throw the house on it. Put the mortgage payments. I'm putting the kids' college fund. I'm putting my wife down on it.
Nice.
I mean, let's call Martez here.
They're out and about.
Again.
And it's
since he's offensive line has not gotten improved at all. So let's just.
What are you talking about? They went out. They signed Riley Reiff. They have their first round pick or second round pick, I believe, left tackle that they took last year who missed the season as a rookie. He's back full health. I actually think that we see them come back with a much more strong offensive line than they had last year.
I disagree. I don't think they're any better than last year, but only time will tell.
They literally are adding their top draft pick last year that was out for the season. How is that not stronger?
There have been plenty of offensive linemen that have been busts.
Fair enough.
Yeah, true that. We'll see. I feel like Burrow is one of those guys, though. He gets rid of the ball.
Joe Burrow has proven that he is a good player.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's also proven that it is very difficult to stay healthy behind a shitty offensive line.
Yes, but Joe Burrow has also proven that he has gotten the respect of this football team. Like, he took it upon himself to go out there and show that he's the freaking guy in Cincinnati. Last year, you saw him take every hit, and he just got clobbered. He's going to come back, play smarter this year, avoid hits. He knows what he can't do now. He knows his limitations. And you saw him as a flagship recruiting and free agency this year. ESPN did a whole piece on why Cincinnati brought in those four top-tier free agents or second-tier free agents, even though it's not a free agent destination, because he literally was out there on the front lines with the GM at dinner saying, hey, come be part of what I'm trying to build here. This is a Super Bowl team. I'm bringing a Super Bowl to Cincinnati.
To be fair, I also saw David Carr go out there and take hits and lead and be the figurehead in the locker room. So
yeah, but David Carr
just
also
just because you can get hit, just because you can take hits, and it's not necessarily true either. But anyway,
Burrow was really
situation.
Burrow was really impressive though last year for a rookie.
I agree.
Sure.
Amen. I agree.
And his weapons are better than David Carr has ever had. So,
that's 100% true.
They're going to be unreal, I think.
And you're talking about a different tier of talent, I think, than David Carr.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ja'Marr Chase does not produce like everyone believes he's going to.
I think it's gotten to the point where it's like, I thought people overhyped Ja'Marr Chase at first. And now I think it's gotten to the point now where it's violently turned because he was a little overhyped. Yeah. That people are like, oh, he's a rookie. He may not do it. We are not remembering what he did on the field with Joe Burrow. The connection's right. already
there's,
there.
There's already.
I remember it. Yeah. Joe Burrow had like touchdowns?
20 touchdowns.
I want to throw out somebody. Do not forget, and it's Tyler Boyd. Do not forget about Tyler Boyd.
I'm not.
You brought him up already, Woody. You called him Taj Boyd, which was a quarterback at Clemson.
That's hilarious. Who
cares? We understand who it is. Tyler Boyd is a guy. Even if you want to reference, fantasy football right now, Tyler Boyd's a guy to keep an eye on as well. He's somebody who has the potential to have a 1,000-yard season at the receiver position this year, even with Higgins and Chase. It's just going to open that offense up. So don't forget about him. So, yeah, definitely solid offense. And then Joe Mixon, every down on the field now. They're going to use him 3-down back. He's a good receiver as well. I'm interested to see that
as
factor.
As long as Joe can stay healthy, he's got the talent to be a top 5 back.
Yeah,
the guy's unbelievable. And can he stay healthy is the question.
Right. All right.
I believe they think he can. They let Gio walk. Gio's been like the number one handcuff for the last decade in the NFL.
I know. They should have kept him. They should have kept him.
Right. I'm sad that I don't think he's going to get as much work as he thinks he's going to get down in Tampa.
I don't think so either. I thought when he went there, he'd become James White 2.0. He's not necessarily that kind of a player where he's going to line up at receiver and run routes like James White did, but he gives you that vibe, right? As soon as he went there. Yeah.
All right. Hit us with the running backs, Brandon.
All right. We got some running backs. We're going to pivot out. Alvin Kamara +100 on the over at DraftKings Sportsbook, +100 on the over, 945.5 rush yards. I have him cracking 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. Do you agree, disagree?
Just for literally, they don't have Drew Brees on the team anymore. Yeah, they're going to have to lean on him more than they ever had before. And especially with the contract that he got. You get that contract, you be prepared to have a couple years where he's gonna tote the rock. So they do have Latavius Murray, who tends to be more, 4 yards of a cloud of dust. But I think this is the year we see Alvin cross the 1,000-yard rushing mark.
Do you guys see that +100 and that make you think maybe not? But
yeah, it scares me a little bit, but I think that more has to do more with health.
Yeah. Even money scares me. Even money scares me. Like even money means that even Vegas isn't sure of it. So whenever you see even money, I immediately think stay away from this bet. Where it comes from, Alvin Kamara, I think he'll have the volume to get there, but we've never seen him run between the tackles that many times in the season. So it's all going to depend on how he breaks down and how it works.
The thing that pushes me over the 1,000 yards is that extra game. I'm thinking like literally 1,100, like right there, just boom.
CJ is actually watching us while on vacation right now, and he is doing so many things in the background, distracting me. It's kind of funny. Every time somebody makes a mistake,
it's pretty distracting.
He's had opinions in the background. It's pretty entertaining, actually, from our end of the spectrum here. So it's fun to watch. Anyway, Chris Carson.
Look, I'm sorry for the terrible mic quality, but Brandon says look, I'm taking the under on Alvin Kamara and Sean Payton. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The scrimmage yards he's gotten the last 4 or 5 seasons is astronomical. Why change it now? So, yes, his usage will be up a little more, but he hasn't rushed for more than 800 yards since he's been in the league. He might touch 900, but I don't think he touches 1,000.
That's CJ McLaughlin from a truck stop payphone, everyone.
Yeah, so that was CJ, first time caller, long-time host
listener.
Of the of the Five Tool Sports podcast, calling in from the lovely what appears to be lake house, hanging out with the in-laws. Anyways, all right, let's move on.
No, I do want to point out Taysom Hill taking reps with the ones. I think that maybe Sean Payton might have a little bit of a trust in his ability to kind of take the reins similarly to Drew Brees, take what's given to you kind of mentality versus somebody like Jameis Winston who will press the envelope, which, hey, some coaches like that, right? Having a guy who's willing to take those risks like Jameis is, sometimes you go that route instead of Taysom Hill, right? So I don't know. My thought process behind it is Sean Payton might see it that way, and I can kind of see where CJ might be coming from with that, where if it's not broke, don't fix it. And maybe Sean Payton's thinking the safer bet would be to go with the guy who understands what he wants to do offensively. All right, we're moving on. Chris Carson at plus 100, 1,500 rush yards, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. So I've got him, or at least the Football Scout 365 projection has him at 1,050 yards. I believe he's going to get the volume if he's healthy to crack over 1,000 yards. And this is, once again, maybe a layup.
I have a lot of Chris Carson experience because I've owned him many times in fantasy. He's actually won me two different fantasy championships during my career because Chris Carson embodies that Seattle offense. They haven't opened it up because they believe in basing their whole offensive strategy off pounding the rock because it's brings the defense in, It's like the Steph Curry effect in the NBA. Steph draws the defense out with more and more three-pointers, and then bam, just opens it up for the passing game and opens it up for cuts to the hoop, wide open basket. Chris Carson, he's a battering ram. He runs so hard. We've seen him. He's in the best shape of his life. There's been multiple clips this year where he just looks like an absolute beast out on the field preseason, but the one thing with Chris Carson is he's going to get a hamstring injury at some point during the season. And it's going to happen in the middle of the season. And we see Rashad Penny. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option as a rookie. He was an ex-first-round pick. He's in the best shape of his life coming off an unlucky ACL tear. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little last-second push from Rashad Penny here for more touches, especially with that extra game. To where there's a couple different factors with the injury and Rashad Penny. I could see Chris Carson being more like Chris Carson-like numbers, 850 to 950 yards, over 10 touchdowns, probably pays 13 to 14 games.
All right.
I don't know if Chris Carson's ever played a full season. So
I think he has once.
For that reason, I'm out.
Good reason.
All right. Fair enough. All right, David Montgomery. This is Woody's guy.
Oh, I'm all over this one.
All right, David Montgomery at plus 100 on the over of 1,500 yards, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. My projections or Football Scout 365's projection model has Montgomery at 950 yards. And my argument to that is you've got Damian Williams, you've got Tariq Cohen, you've got potentially a rookie in Khalil Herbert. And then you've got Nagy, though, saying he's going to increase the usage of Montgomery more. He's going to be way more involved this year. We've had this conversation, Woody, before, which kind of piqued my interest in Montgomery a little bit. If I'm thinking from a fantasy football perspective, it piqued my interest a little bit in David Montgomery this year. But I still think in my head, Nagy always says one thing and then he does another. So we have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. What do you guys think?
My biggest thing with Montgomery is something that you haven't even mentioned, the success that he's going to have this year, is the consistency at quarterback play. Because it's amazing that I'm saying this out loud, but Andy Dalton's the best quarterback he's ever had playing. Like, we're already hearing reports of Andy Dalton wowing Allen Robinson with his consistency. And we saw the success in pass offenses that running backs have had with Andy Dalton as their quarterback. Cincinnati had a great 1-2 punch with Andy Dalton when he was their quarterback for almost a decade. And I think this is David Montgomery. We see his peak here. I think he may have his best NFL pro season.
I think this is a crazy thing to say. I think the Bears might be the best team in the NFC North.
Not better.
With the Mendoza line at quarterback, I think they are the best team in the NFC North. I think that defense is so much better than everyone else in that division. their offense just got infinitely better just by getting a little bit of consistency under center, just like you said, Woody.
Was this recorded before Aaron Rodgers? Or no, I'm just kidding.
I'm not. I think even with Aaron Rodgers, like, I think that defense, the Bears' defense, and now their ability to put up points utilizing Andy Dalton, they're the real deal. Like, Bears, Super Bowl contenders. On to David Montgomery, though. The one thing that scares me for David Montgomery in getting to that 1,000 yards, he does not have breakaway speed in any way, shape, or form.
He showed last year he could break away.
He showed last year he can get tackled in the open field.
He's got good football. He does have good football speed. I'll tell you this. When I first analyzed him as a running back, my big pet peeve was that he, exactly what you just said, Nate, you know, coming out of Iowa State, he was not a guy with breakaway speed. So when people were kind of high on him coming in as a rookie, I'm like, I'm not really that high on him. But he's proving to be. Yeah,
I like what he does between the tackles. I love it.
He's going to get you that 4 or 5 yards at a time.
Chunks. Consistency. He's going to get you that. He's going to move the chains. Yeah. But we're like the one thing he's going to lack, in my opinion, is you're going to find out that he's not going to have any of those like long 40 yard runs. So hold on. We have a caller.
Billy Joe from Texas.
How you doing, guys? I'm listening to the show here, and I just think Montgomery, he had over 100 all-purpose yards, all-scrimmage yards the last six games of the season.
The Paul Feinbaum
show? I love David Montgomery to have over 1,600 yards from scrimmage, and he has an upgraded quarterback. I like David Montgomery.
Thank you, Doug Dimmadome. Right. With the Dimmadale Dimmadome.
CJ out there truckers at the truck stop that he's hanging out at.
Thank
CJ
you.
CJ turned into a.
Appreciate it.
CJ turned into a lot lizard.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Next up, we're going to pivot over to a quarterback, right? So, a sneaky play, something that I noticed on DraftKings is that Trevor Lawrence on the touchdown over is plus 100, 3.5 touchdowns for the over, guys. Lawrence is quite the athlete, and I can see them utilizing his legs early as a rookie to get him in the flow and speed of the NFL. In his first two seasons at Clemson, Lawrence had 943 rush yards on 231 attempts, and he scored 18 touchdowns on the ground. So this might be a sneaky play if you're interested in something like that. From that perspective, it's really one of the most interesting over-unders that I found in terms of player props. What do you think?
I love rookies. It's hard to break down the speed of the NFL. Stuff comes at you fast. If we're going to see him rush for over 4 touchdowns, it's probably going to be his rookie year because as stuff breaks down, the rookie has to scramble. I would go the over here, but I'm probably not betting.
I like this one simply because just watching Trevor Lawrence, the opposite of David Montgomery in where it comes to having breakaway speed. Yeah. Like Trevor Lawrence is going to run away from defensive backs in open space. Like
we've seen
watched him do it in college and he did it again. I watched him do it in college and he did it against top level talent
for like 80 yards.
Exactly.
So dude, crazy.
Trevor Lawrence doesn't look like he should be that fast. Trevor Lawrence is sneaky, sneaky fast. Like he's baseball player fast.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're making a good point on that. He is quick, but obviously you're joking on he's faster than David Montgomery.
I wouldn't say he's not.
You know what?
I would not say he's not.
If we can somehow come up with a five tool foot race where we can get David Montgomery and Trevor Lawrence next to each other, I will put my entire paycheck on Trevor Lawrence.
So who's faster, Trevor Lawrence or David Montgomery, guys? Is this the argument?
Who would you rather tackle in the open field? That's a better question.
Well, I don't want to try to tackle Montgomery. You're right. Exactly. I might not want to try to tackle Lawrence. He's a big dude.
Trevor Lawrence is a big dude. Yeah. Anyways, Trevor Lawrence faster than David Montgomery. Both the eye test and probably the radar gun.
All right, here we go. Joe Mixon at plus 100 on the under for 995.5 yards. Football Scout 365 projection model has Mixon down for 1,050 yards on the ground in 2021. So
I'm going over here.
Right. And this is one of my thought processes here. He rushed for over 1,100 yards in 2018 in just 13 games. And he actually rushed for 1,100 yards in 2019 in 15 games, right? So even though he's been a little injury prone, if he can rush for 1,100 yards in 13 games, if he plays a full 17 or even 16, then yeah, this is easy money right here, right?
I think they wouldn't let Geo walk. Like last year in a losing season, I think we underestimate there's no point in playing your star players when you're in a season like last year for the Bengals, when they're a little knocked up. If the Bengals are in contention this year and we see them playing competitive football.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah. If the Bengals are in contention and we see them playing competitive football this year, I think we see a lot more Joe Mixon. That's my whole point on the over here. I think this is the year
volume.
Joe puts up good numbers.
I definitely think this is a good one. You just got to, you know, we got to embrace the fact that some of these guys on this list.
Well, Joe's probably going to end up on my fantasy team because with all the keepers that everyone's having and a lot of the mocks, Joe's the guy who's ended up falling to me at the end of the back of the first. And at first I was a little worried about it, but the more I looked into it and his situation, I was like, you know what? I actually don't
hate getting Joe here this year. That's a heck of a keeper.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, in my notes here, I even put, you know, he could have a CMC type of season similar to 2019 for Christian McCaffrey.
He's an amazing, amazing out of the backfield.
Yeah. He's a great athlete, period. All right, so on DraftKings right now, you can wager on Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook cracking 2,000 yards rushing at plus 1,000.
And this brings a question to us, boys. We've never seen a back-to-back 2,000-yard rusher. And I swear to God, just because of physical prowess, if anyone ever did it back-to-back, it would be Derrick Henry. Like, the just the way he's built. He'd be the only one that I think could possibly do it. Do I think he's going to do it? No. But if I think, do I think there's someone who has the best chance ever? It'd be Derrick Henry.
Yeah, this is definitely, this is, when I had seen this, it kind of blew my mind when I read it. At first, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they obviously know. And there is no yes or no to this question. You're just betting, you know, yes on whether they're going to rush for 2,000, right? Yeah. So you're all in on one thing, obviously. And Dalvin Cook, no, I don't see it unless he is legitimately going to play 17 games. I can see Derrick Henry playing a full 17 games this year. It's just the kind of player he is. Maybe even 16, but he can still crack 2,000 at 16. And plus, what do you have to lose here, right? I mean, other than if you bet $100, right? Put $100 on it and just hope it happens.
I think there's a shot, but I think if I were to put $100 on it, I would wait until I get like a plus 2,500, plus 3,000 by week two or three. Wait for that one game where he has like a down game. Wait for the odds to shift in your favor, and just remember that there's an extra game at the end of the season where he's gonna probably put up exactly. He's gonna make it up.
Make Vegas pay.
Yeah. People are putting some big money on that right now. I guarantee it. So, all right. As far as the wide receivers, you know, receiving receptions, all that, you know, I didn't really see anything that was too crazy to me in terms of over unders or anything for that matter. So I'm going to share some projections from Football Scout 365. The top five projected year two wide receivers heading into the 2021 NFL season. I'll go ahead and read them off and you guys can elaborate on who you believe belongs or does not belong. So I'll start off Justin Jefferson from the Minnesota Vikings at number one, projected 146 targets, 1,255 yards and 7 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb of the Dallas Cowboys at number two, 123 targets, 1,022 yards and 4 touchdowns. Then we got Chase Claypool from the Steelers, 115 targets, 923 yards and 6 touchdowns. T. Higgins for the Cincinnati Bengals, 115 targets, 935 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Then we got Jerry Jeudy at 5, 108 targets, 915 yards, 6 touchdowns. What do you guys think?
CD and Chase, I'll take the overs. Everyone else will take under.
Is there anybody missing here that you guys would think? I know Brandon Ayuk is a guy that a lot of people...
I was actually going to say Brandon Ayuk. I'd like to see what his over-unders are. It's just with his quarterback position in flux, it's... Yeah. That's where I worry about him. But I saw something yesterday where someone was doing training camp coverage. And they said that Brandon Ayuk has been the number one target for both Trey and Jimmy G in training camp, and it hasn't been close.
I'd take the over on Jefferson.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. I own him in a dynasty league. I think he comes back more to earth with tape. You'll see those long plays that he got snuck over safeties. We'll pay a little bit more attention to him now. I think this might be the Thielen's last hurrah as like an elite wide receiver.
Yeah, that could be. It'll be interesting to see who steps up.
Like those numbers, yeah. I think, is like where he's going to end up.
I got Ayuk at 108 targets, 832 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Over. Take the over on that.
Over, for sure. Okay.
Well, that's what I got. That's everything I got, Woody. So whatever you got left.
The CD hype has reached an all-time peak when it comes to fantasy. His draft, I saw his ADP in like standard leagues is up to like 27, which is absolutely insane, above Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
It's like I'm all over CD. I traded Mike Evans for him last year to keep him in a keeper league at a 6th-round value. Do you have Noah Fant's over-unders in front of you? That's the guy
I don't have the actual DraftKings information pulled up, but I can pull up the tight end list if you would.
I'd like to see TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant's third year for each of them.
So let's take a look.
Because this is supposed to be the third year boom. Irv Smith as well.
We've got Hockenson. Hockenson's actually 4th overall. So you've got Kelsey, Waller, Kittle, and then Hockenson. Hockenson, I've got him 123 targets, 880 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So, yeah, he's ahead of Mark Andrews in terms of targets, in terms of yards, not touchdowns.
He's all so, yeah. Jared Goff has, so that's probably the main reason there.
Yeah, and so some other notables. Who else did you mention?
Noah Fant is what I'm wondering.
So Noah Fant, 10th, which would be pretty solid, and he can definitely be a guy to look at. That.
I'd bet
660 yards. I've actually got him projected 150 fantasy points and half point PPR, 92 targets total. And then you had mentioned one more, Irv Smith.
Yeah.
Irv Smith, 550 yards, 4 touchdowns on 77 targets.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yep. Well, that's it, guys. That's the over unders this preseason. We're going to have a ton more preseason content coming at you. Check out our feed for the new fantasy show. As always, check out Brandon's Football Scout 365. Rumor has it a NBA free agency pod might be coming over the hill. We'll see. And as always, check out our socials and our web at @5toolsportspodcast.com. And for everyone here at 5 Tool Sports, we out. Kill the music.
Peace.
Well, I guess that's a wrap.
I don't know what you know about prison, but if you're holding on to another dude's pocket, it's going to be a rough day, all right?
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cube.